Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right. How is everybody doing today? Obviously, I think we're all a little bit confused, a little bit sad, a little bit worried. But before we get into all of that, you know, we just do some social media so that you can get in contact with us and the team and with myself. Once again, my name is Eric Rivera, and this is the Y Nada Más podcast. You can contact us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Y Nada Más podcast. That is the handle at Y Nada Más podcast. And then also we are available on the web at ynadamas.net. That is at ynadamas.net. So www.ynadamas.net. That is our website, in addition to obviously our social media handles. And if you would like to get in touch with us via email, that is, the email is info@ynadamas.net. So with all that said, we are actually, if you are interested with the website that we have, we've gotten everything going with the website, and we're starting to add episodes and everything that we're doing on that end. We do obviously have a blog. We just haven't made it live yet. And that is because although my background, I have, you know, written, and my background is actually, you know, I talked a little bit about it last time. I've been in production. I've been in radio. I've done, you know, quite a few things, but my background is political science. So I have written in the past. Most of the writing that I've done in the past has gone a lot around, well, either politics or combat sports, because I did say I had a combat sports background and, you know, writing for combat sports journalism. But, you know, when it comes to football, I haven't done too much. And really, with my focus on the podcast, on this podcast and in another podcast and on everything else, you know, I can't write too much for the blog. So I would be interested if there are any aspiring writers and any aspiring sports writers that are interested in writing for the Y Nada Más podcast or the ynadamas.net website, hit us up at info@ynadamas.net. Okay, so with that said, guys, let's get into the game. Let's get into what everybody was talking about and, you know, what happened today. Well, here's something that I put together.
Hostia.
So you're going to hear that sound anytime there's something that didn't really go the way we wanted it to go, whether it's a loss or a disappointing tie or a disappointing draw, you're going to hear this sound.
Hostia.
And really, I think that works for today because, you know, I think it's too early to get. I've seen a lot of things on Twitter. You know, obviously, I'm very active on Twitter and I'm very active on Instagram, mostly Twitter, in the sense that Twitter is, you know, you get a lot of people's opinions very quickly, whether that's the opinions in Spain and in Spanish from all over the world, or the opinions in English from multiple different sources around the world that are obviously looking at Real Madrid's game today. You know, La Liga has kind of, how would I say, we've been getting piecemeal of La Liga, really. We've been getting little by little a taste of what, you know, this season is going to be. And really, last week's La Liga fixtures were pretty much everybody from mid-table that week would consider mid-table down, you know. And then really, today was going to be the, you know, the arrival of the champions, the arrival of the champions of last year's La Liga, which is obviously Real Madrid. So there was a lot of expectation to see, you know, really for a lot of us is to see our favorite players play again and see them take the field. And, you know, after a friendly where it was reported that we, you know, Karim Benzema scored 4 goals and, you know, we ended up winning the game 6-0 against Getafe, which is they have not been an easy team as of late. I would say a lot of us expected, you know, that this game was going to go a lot. We were going to see a lot more goals than we did. And, you know, we ended up 0-0. A goalless draw. Goalless in San Sebastian, as is the the name of this episode of the podcast. And what can really be said? I mean, to be honest with you, it was kind of surprising because, as we know, for those of you who saw the game, you know, and once again, these are my interpretations of what I was watching. I think we started out well. I think, I was very excited. I think we started out well. I think we started out attacking. We looked aggressive. You know, it was a very offensive lineup that Zidane put out there, which was, you know, that 4-2-3-1, which was actually very surprising, considering we don't really ever play with a center attacking mid. And in this case, since we brought Martin Odegaard into the mix, then what we did is we played with, you know, obviously with Martin Odegaard in that middle position as these attacking forward, as an attacking forward in the center. And then on the left flank, we of course had Vinicius. And then on the right flank, we had Rodrigo, and Benzema was our sole striker. And in the back, we actually had a double pivot, which is something we don't usually see with Madrid, of Modric and Kroos. So this allowed for, and then, you know, we had Mendy and Carvajal on the as our right back and our left back. And then obviously Sergio Ramos and Varane in the midfield. I'm sorry, in the as our two center backs. So defensively, we did really well because we didn't concede. Obviously, that's something that we've seen has been kind of a really good thing. That's been one of the best things that we've had with Madrid for the last, I would say, the last season and this season, and well, this first game of the season, was that our defense looks very solid. You know, Varane did exceptionally well today, you know, and honestly, I feel like that was something we wanted to see from Varane, because I think he took the blame, and he was honestly to blame for that, for the goals that we took when we faced Manchester City in the Champions League. Two errors, two mistakes that had basically, you know, cost us the game. But he came back and showed his strength, and he showed, you know, that he is a very solid center back, and he was one of the best out there today. And, you know, that also goes to show the leadership of Sergio Ramos is always important in the back of the pitch, because he is the one who gets everybody, I think, fired up and organized and, you know, ready to defend the crest and to defend our goal. And they did a good job when it comes to the defense. And I think there's nobody would argue that. Thibaut Courtois, amazing saves today. He saved our ass, as you could say, pretty much on two. I would say there was two shots on goal that we had that were very, very, one of them was obviously otherworldly, in the sense that he was one-on-one with one of the strikers from Real Sociedad. I believe it was Isak, and, you know, he basically saved us there. So our back line was good. And then, you know, we had obviously Mendy and Carvajal. They were doing these, they were actually not really overlapping as much as they were going up and cutting cutting inside, while Vinicius and Rodrigo would go wider and occasionally obviously cut inside as well. But they were, you know, and so what I saw a lot of was there was a lot of action. Obviously, we found that speed and that danger that Vinicius has, in the sense of, and Mendy, I honestly think that Mendy is somebody that I haven't heard mentioned too much on these Twitter, you know, on Twitter today, but honestly, I think he did a really good job. He was dangerous. He was going up. He was very aggressive. I mean, really, when those, that speed on that side that we have when Vinny and Mendy are together is pretty lethal. And they're both not afraid to dribble and to go into and cut inside into the penalty area. But what we did see is, you know, there was sort of a lack of, although they cut inside and they were doing their work on that end, there was really a lack of connection, and I would say, with the midfielders and trying to get anybody into the box that could finish the plays. It really was all up to Benzema. He took a few shots. He scuffed a couple of them, but, you know, it was really him making the shots on goal, you know, except for one by Vinicius that was really a volley that went wide. But besides that, you know, as much as we looked aggressive during the entire first half, there was nothing really there was nothing really that was of danger to Real Sociedad in the sense that it was something that Ramiro, maybe on two occasions, I think he had to go for the save. And besides that, they were pretty easy saves for him. So it was really this situation where I found myself getting frustrated watching the game towards the, I would say towards the end of the game, where I was already, and I can tell you this, I think I was already smelling that this was going to be a goalless draw, or God forbid, Real Sociedad was going to find a winner. You know, so it was going to either be a 0-0 game or it was going to be a 1-0 win for Real Sociedad. And that, it just kind of felt like there was, and that's the problem that we've been having with Real Madrid as of late, and I think a lot of people would agree, is that we just don't have the firepower. Obviously, since Cristiano left, and oh my God, you know, simultaneously he's playing in Juve, you know, and simultaneously the Juventus was playing today, and what does Cristiano Ronaldo do but score on his first, you know, game back of the season? But we're really missing that firepower, you know, and Benzema, as much as I love him and as much as he really is the our top striker, and, he, you know, there's no reason to doubt Benzema, you know, we just lack the, we're lacking firepower. Now, I would say the lowest point of today's game was definitely Rodrigo. I didn't see anything really out of him that was of threat at all, except maybe a couple of runs and cutting inside and trying to look for passes and through balls. But there was really nothing really there, you know, to really, you know, say, hey, you know, he had a good game, which I, you know, leads me to believe, obviously, that's the reason that Zidane changed him in the second half. But yeah, so that 4-2-3-1 formation was a really interesting one. I did feel like there were times when Odegaard and Benzema linked up very nicely. I did see, you know, Benzema drifting wide a little bit, drifting left a little bit. And that was nice, because you would see this kind of combination between Mendy, Benzema, and Vini on the flank. But the problem is then there was nobody in the box, you know, right in front of the goalie or in the penalty, you know, right there on the penalty spot, where if any of those through balls were coming in, where they could take any shots or finish off any ball that was there in the area. So it really kind of got where we didn't have any other ideas. Odegaard looked good today. I think you could see that he has vision. He has great passing. He obviously has, he is in a lot of ways, you know, and I heard this. I heard this in another, not in another podcast, but I was seeing it on a Twitter where somebody was saying, well, if Zidane was going to play with a 4-2-3-1, then why, you know, with a cam today, pretty much, which is a position that, you know, everyone talks about is dying out, you know, then why get rid of James? Well, I mean, at the same time, you know, James is doing well and it's at Everton, and, you know, I'm Colombian, so I love James, but, you know, I don't think any of that would have helped anyway today, you know? So, I mean, I think Odegaard is just as creative as James. I think he's faster. I think he's better at recovering defensively. I would say shot wise and pass wise, they're both very, very creative, but I don't think that was the situation today. I think the situation today was we lacked the ability to pull a trigger. And the problem is also, so here's the situation. We also know that when they play this 4-2-3-1 and you have a double pivot, that makes Kroos and Modric, and you could tell from, you know, from what I could see, Kroos was staying a little bit further back. So he was basically the man that was in front of our two center backs, while Modric was a little bit freer to go forward. Now, Kroos was exceptional last season, because he was given when we play the 4-3-3 formation and Casemiro is in the game and Valverde is in the game, that gave Kroos always the liberty to go forward a lot more and be that attacking player, that attacking midfielder. And he did a great job last season because he was able to find those spots that he loves, you know, to get from shoot from outside the box. And anytime he would get those little chances, I mean, he scored some bangers from outside the box last year and also set up some great passes for our wingers that were cutting into the box or for Benzema at the top. But he wasn't able to do that in the first half. So you kind of lose out on that gross that we've seen. Modric was always playing. I mean, for me, Modric is one of my favorite players ever. So him going into the, you know, him having that freedom to go in there and go up and down and be a little bit more free in attack was great. But at the same time, they were, I feel like whenever we don't have Casemiro, there is this shakiness in front of our center backs where I think they're more concerned of making sure there are no holes defensively and making sure they track back because they know that they don't have this wall of a man that we know is Casemiro. They don't have him back there. So I think while we were very offensive and we were doing very well offensively, we just, you know, it was for naught. Because at the end of the day, you know, with all that offensive pressure we put on Real Sociedad in that first half, we should have got something out of it. And then in the second half, obviously, the second half was really Real Sociedad's better half, you know, and I think they kind of played a little bit of rope-a-dope in that sense. And if any of you don't know what that is, obviously that comes from my combat sports background where, you know, Muhammad Ali was known for that, where he would just, you know, be on the ropes and play on the ropes and sort of play possum. I think Real Sociedad was really good at, you know, sort of weathering that early storm in the first half of all the aggression that came at them from Real Madrid. Because Real Madrid, there were some points where I would see that, you know, it was almost like a 5-on-5 attacking of like five players pretty much. You had Mendy, Vinicius, you had Carvajal going up, you had Rodrigo, you had all these players just pushing up. It was almost like six players pushing straight up and, you know, all of Sociedad's back line, save a couple of players, really just trying to stop it. So it was really almost a battering ram in the first few minutes. And then as second half came around, it wasn't really like that anymore and we started losing steam. I think, once again, Rodrigo was a detriment there on the right-hand side. On the right flank, he shouldn't have played, you know, he should have been taken out sooner. Honestly, not having Asensio, I think was, you know, an issue there because, you know, I think Asensio is better suited, for that position on the right wing. I don't know. I mean, maybe we're missing Hazard, but I mean, those guys, even in their prime, well, Hazard, obviously, in his prime is going to be something that we want to see. And I have all the faith in the world that he's going to be able to do well this season. But, you know, it was just really, you know, we just lost steam. They just didn't seem like when they came out and they slowed down in the second half. And I have to say that this has been, I mean, obviously, that goes without saying. You're going to get tired after running for 90 minutes. That's not an easy thing to do, but They just seem to lack. I mean, it seems like they really attacked the entire first half and then kind of ran out of steam in the second half and couldn't continue doing the same. So what happens is that Zidane, obviously, so he takes out, what was his first change? His first change was he takes out Rodrigo and puts in Marvin. And then we're left with, obviously, and so we have him on the end and, you know, pretty decent, you know, I guess, you know, he's a young kid out of Castilla, you know, and you know, that's great that Zidane wants to play some of our younger guys, but, you know, I don't think he was going to bring in the firepower that we needed. And then obviously the biggest change that I think made a difference for us is that when you take out Odegaard, then you put in Fede Valverde. So you go back to that 4-3-3 formation. So you take Odegaard, you put in Casemiro, you take out Modric, you put in Fede, you know. So now you're back in that 4-3-3 formation. Now you have, you know, you have Vinny on the left, you have Benz, you have Marvin, then you have Kroos, Kase, and Fede. And so now you can see that Casemiro, obviously, you know, he makes up for everything in the sense that he just, you know, he drops back and he's, you know, our stalwart there in the midfield and making sure that, you know, defensively we're tight, which allows, and Fede is tighter as well. And he's pretty good defensively. I think Fede is really good defensively. Not so much obviously as Casemiro, but he's also on the attack. He's just a workhorse. And so having those two guys was once again what I was talking about, moving back to that 4-3-3 allows Kroos to go up a little bit more and start showing that creativity and that ability to shoot on goal that we know he has. And we saw a little bit of that, but it was already like a little bit too late. You know, I think even with Kroos, I even think it was hard for him to sort of go, you know, after running around the first entire half and, you know, having to run up and track back and make sure and play that defense and play defensively. And now kind of, you know, go up there and try to attack a little bit more. Things weren't connecting as much. Sociedad was more on the attack. We started pushing up our lines a little bit more. Almost like at one point I was hearing the commentator saying that it seemed like Real Madrid was playing a little bit like they were desperate, because almost like as if they were a goal down. And it just seemed like they just didn't have any connection after that. Vinicius kind of lost that spark. Mendy lost that spark. They were no longer having that aggression on the left-hand side. And then, you know, Zidane does, you know, I understand, you know, he wants to bring in some people. So he brings in Arribas. And, you know, that's you know, one of the young guys from Castilla. And this is where the issue comes in, where everyone's asking is, you know, why if we're already seeing that Benzema is not scoring, he's not been able to score. And I understand, you know, a lot of people love Benzema, and I love Benzema too. But the problem too is, and this is the commentary that has been going around, is we have Luka Jovic on the bench. And we can talk about Zidane, and that's something I'm going to get into. We can talk about Zidane and his feelings for Luka Jovic. What are they? Do we really know? It seems like everything's fine, but, you know, that's what he says. You know, there's no problem with him, but why don't we see any minutes from Luka Jovic? We know that this guy, I keep on repeating myself, we know that this guy was a killer at Eintracht Frankfurt. Then last year, he had a couple of minutes out. I mean, honestly, I can't see where people say he hasn't really done anything, when really he's not even played many minutes for us to say he's not done anything. I mean, he's had a handful of minutes to play the game, to showcase what he can do. I mean, there was one game where obviously last season where he, you know, that he did that, you know, back heel flick to make an assist and we scored a goal. And that was, you know, the assist pretty much of the game right there. But it seems like, you know, if Benzema isn't working, then bring in Jovic, you know, bring in Jovic. Benzema is already, I mean, you can't have a guy that, what is Benzema, 33, 32? You can't have him running. I mean, he's not going to run all 90 minutes and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe come up with a banger all of a sudden, or maybe come up with a shot when the team is already sort of losing its steam. Bring in some fresh legs, somebody that's got that, you know, that we know is a striker. But you bring in a young kid and then it's like, that's it. It's almost like you kind of gave up on the fact that you wanted to score. We needed goals, and you bring in a winger that's not even a proven winger at least at the senior level, with another unproven winger on the other side who's also unproven at the senior team level, and you leave Benzema in the middle there, and you have Casemiro and Fede, they're attacking, but you have a whole Real Sociedad that already has been playing very solid defensively. So you don't have anybody in there to at least bring something new to the table, try to bring something new, at least for the last few minutes of the game, you know? And I think that's where the criticism is for Zidane, you know, and a lot of people that are wondering, you know, when are we going to see Luka Jovic? You know, when are we going to see, even if it's not Luka Jovic, because we've seen that this, you know, the comments about him going out on loan. Okay. But you had Mayoral there too. And Mayoral, you know, he played at Levante. And he did, you know, he scored 14 goals at Levante last season. I think I have it here in my notes. He scored 14 goals for Levante last season, you know. Zidane was saying that, you know, he liked what he saw from him. You know, it just seemed to me like, okay, so here's my commentary besides all the tactical stuff, which I'm not 100% fucking great at. So, you know, but analyzing tact, I just see what I see, you know, and I'm sure a lot of you will have deferring opinions, you know, but it just seems to me like, you know, we don't have those goals. And the one thing you want to do is at least put in a striker or go 4-4-2. Although Zidane said he didn't want to change the lineup. He didn't want to change the formation. So that's why he didn't want to bring in, you know, another striker, an additional striker, and let's say play 4-4-2 or something like that. Right. So, and, you know, and he was just saying, you know, we had a good game and all we were lacking was goals. But here is the thing, you know, I feel like we took this and this is the Real Madrid fan in me, where it's always like, you know, anything other than winning is kind of unacceptable, you know. And obviously we have to be fair, but I want to be fair, but you know, the whole idea behind Real Madrid being the best and being the champions that they are is that anything other than winning is unacceptable, you know, and especially if it's the first game of the season. Now, obviously we don't want to go crazy because it's the first game of the season and some of these guys are still getting adjusted to being back, you know, and we only had one warm-up game, but we did have a warm-up game where a preseason friendly where we scored 6 goals and got 6 goals past Getafe, right? So you would think that we were going to, I mean, one of the things I would think is, you know, if you're going to start out the season against Real Sociedad, I mean, you got to, as the champions, I feel like, is you got to go out there and make a statement. You want to start out on the right foot. And yeah, I'm pretty sure, obviously, they go out with that mentality. They go out with that mentality to score goals. You know, you can't be unfair and say me as, you know, as this asshole behind a microphone saying, oh, you know what? Well, I don't think they wanted to go out there and score goals. Obviously, every single player wants to go out there and score goals. Let me take it to like my combat sports background. People always say, well, you can't leave it in the hands of the judges, right? You can't leave it in the hands of the judges. You got to go for the knockout, which is a stupid comment. You know why? Because in my years of fighting and in my years of coaching fighters, no fighter ever goes into the fight wanting to go to decision. Okay? No fighter goes into the fight saying, today, I want to win by decision. So no team ever goes into a game saying, you know what? Today, we want to have a draw. No team ever does that. Every team wants to score. Every team wants to win. Every player wants to score a goal. It doesn't matter if it's the goalie. They want to score a goal. They want to win. But the idea that I felt was today, it's almost like, I feel like, did Zidane settle? Did he settle for 0-0? Because it's almost like you settled for 0-0 because you didn't want to take out Benzema and try a different striker. At least try. That's it. You know? So that leads me to another thing, obviously, is you know, obviously I'm criticizing Zidane there, but I think, you know, we've seen a lot of this lately. We've seen, and so changing away from the game, it's 0-0, guys. It wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a great game. So let me finish up that point. It wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a great game. Obviously, there were some things tactically where I wish, you know, we would have tried something different towards the end. You know, I think, you know, Odegaard is still meshing with the team, but it looks good. You know, I think that 4-2-3-1 system looked good at the beginning. Lost steam towards the end. 4-3-3 is probably a better solution for us. Will Kroos, Odegaard, and Modric be able to play together? I don't know, because if you have Odegaard and Modric, then I feel like you kind of put Kroos back in that position that he didn't like, where he kind of was always vocal about it, where he's not the type of guy where he's kind of felt like he doesn't want to be relied on always to play too defensively. He likes to move forward. And we saw last year when they gave him that freedom, last season when they gave him that freedom to do so, he was honestly one of our best. He was definitely one of our best players on the team. Kroos, he's just an absolute beast. So if you play with those three guys, then you are relying on Kroos and Modric to play a little bit more defensively, while Odegaard is more of your creative player. And maybe Modric or Kroos going up with Odegaard on occasion, but somebody's going to have to stay back. And are either of those two players really the type of guys that are stay back? They're great, I would say, box-to-box midfielders, but they're not your Casemiro, you know? And we don't have anybody. I know they want to bring in Blanco, and honestly, I think Blanco is an interesting choice, because I was looking at his highlights and watching some of his old games, and I think he's a sturdy defensive midfielder, good vision, good first touch. You know, he's calm in possession. Obviously, we have to see him at the senior level. I definitely think he has to put in a little bit more bulk. He's kind of a, you know, he's a short, stocky guy, but I think, you know, definitely kind of reminds me of an Alan that went to Everton. We used to play in Napoli. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of a Kante, you know, short, kind of stocky dude. I like him. I like the idea of bringing him in as a Casemiro backup. So we'll say that, you know, but anyway, so going back to that is I don't know if we're going to be able to play that when we're going to see that midfield again of having Modric, Kroos, and Odegaard together. You know, I think it's going to be interchanging. If, you know, we did well with the 4-3-3 last year, it's really going to be, you know, who is going to take over. You know, Modric is getting older. Obviously, you know, Odegaard is going to be getting more minutes. I think probably switching out with Modric would be where we're going to see him more of him. Maybe putting him in. I know he's played occasionally on the right flank. I may be wrong there, but I believe he did sometimes play on the right for Real Sociedad. So we might see him there. But honestly, I think, you know, there's no backup for Casemiro. And I think, it's kind of like that whole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're still kind of trying to go for those guys. That main midfield of ours is sort of kind of untouchable at the moment. And you're going to have guys like Valverde that can come in or even start, you know, but you're going to have Gasse is always going to be the guy that's going to be starting there in the middle for us. He's kind of going to be that guy, unless you want to bring in Blanco, maybe try him out for some of the, you know, the teams that are at the bottom half of the table, maybe in Copa del Rey against the, you know, any second division teams we go against and kind of see how he fares there. But anyway, so moving on from there, while I criticize Zidane for that, and I don't think it's wrong to criticize him, there are things about Zidane that I don't like. But I don't think it's warranted to constantly criticize the guy, because I was watching, like, you know, obviously I watch Chiringuito, and then I watch, you know, Onda Cero, and I watch all these things. I mean, I listen to all these things, and then it's all of a sudden, like, after the whole so Bale, obviously we know Bale left, Sergio Reguilón left, Bale is gone on loan to Tottenham, and so did Sergio Reguilón is gone to Tottenham on a full transfer buyback clause. We can talk about that a little bit, but we know what that is. But anyway, everyone's saying, oh, you know, the criticism is because Zidane didn't want to play Bale, and, you know, he had something against Bale, and then James, he had something against James, and he doesn't want to play them, and you know. So is it really warranted to criticize him? Sure. You know, he's open. Nobody's infallible, so everyone is open. You know, everyone is, you can criticize anybody. But the man has won us 11 titles. 3 Champions Leagues, 2 Club World Cups, 2 European Super Cups, 2 Spanish Leagues, 2 Spanish Super Cups, right? Just to make sure that you guys are listening. So really, while we can criticize him, he is a man that knows what he's doing. Now, there's going to be people that say, oh, well, he won with Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, he had Ronaldo on the team. Okay, but then last year he didn't, and he was still able to pull out wins. Not the prettiest wins, but we were more solid defensively last year. And, you know, Sergio Ramos had a hell of a year. Kroos had a hell of a year. Benzema had a hell of a season. You know, all of them did well, and they got us the win. And Zidane's tactics helped us get that win. Did they help us win the Champions League? No. But it was such a strange season last season. I think people got to know that last season was just one of those extremely odd seasons. And honestly, I don't think Real Madrid was going to beat that Bayern team anyway, if we're talking about Champions League. I don't even know if anybody's going to beat that Bayern team right now. But it goes without saying that, honestly, Zidane is the man, you know, and he knows more than a lot of us that are, you know, sitting behind our computer or sitting behind our TVs watching the game. he's got a lot more insight on what's going on than we, you know, than we do. You know, even the guys from Chiringuito with all their fucking exclusivas and all that stuff, with all, you know, all their drama, you know, they put on this thing and, you know, all this like really dramatic music and exclusiva. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, you know, we found out that whatever, you know, they found out that Zidane was eating at a restaurant the other day. And that's, you know, that is our exclusive information. Like, anybody really cares? But anyway, criticizing him because of Bale and all this stuff. It's like, you know, I was watching the Tottenham Hotspur All or Nothing on Amazon, which I really recommend to everybody. And, you know, you get to that insight into Mourinho and how it is to run a club. And I got to say, you know, he is the star of the show in the sense of Mourinho being the star of the show. But there's a lot of things that Mourinho says there that I think translate to what a coach is looking at. Now, I've coached fighters in my time, and it's kind of very similar, only I think, like, coaching a fighter is a very taxing thing because you kind of got to be with them every step of the way. But I imagine that coaching a team is like having a stable full of fighters, and everyone has a different personality. Everyone has a different talent. Everyone has a different skill set. Everyone has a different, outlook at football. Everybody trains differently. It is very difficult to manage. So one thing that I liked about Mourinho, and he says that at the beginning, is he goes, I don't treat anybody different unless they don't share my philosophy. And that is what happens with some of these big coaches, is you got to share the philosophy, and especially at a team like Real Madrid. So we don't know what's going on, obviously, behind the scenes. You know, we see that Jovic trains well, but then we see that, you know, Zidane says, oh, I really like what Mayoral has been doing. So there's got to be something going on there that we don't know about, and maybe Zidane sees something that we don't, and maybe he feels like, you know, Jovic still needs more time. But at the same time, is he also needs playing time. And then also, you know, this is the criticism, obviously, is that the whole idea with Bale. And Bale is a phenomenal player, and I don't want to get into that whole discussion. Bale is a phenomenal player. I still think he's a world-class player. But his time was done at Madrid because he just no longer could stomach being at Madrid. Maybe he couldn't stomach Zidane. Maybe he couldn't stomach, you know, the board anymore. Maybe he was just done. Maybe he was done with the fans. Maybe he was done with the city. That's what it seemed like. So they're saying, you know, oh, Zidane, you have to, like, bring him back. You know, you have to do this and do that and, you know, try to save it. And, you know, oh, it's un capricho, means that Zidane was just a spoiled brat. And so he, you know, if he doesn't like somebody, then he's just going to let him go. And that's why he did it to James. And that's why he did it to Bale. And, you know, that's, you know, why he's not playing these guys. And it's honestly like, if they don't fit, I go back to what Mourinho said. He's basically, it's like, if they don't share his philosophy or he doesn't see them fit in his planning, then they don't fit. And with Bale, it already became sort of a toxic situation where the guy was just not happy with the team anymore. And, you know, there was a lot of things going on where even players were not happy with him. So Zidane wasn't going to be the only one that had to salvage that situation. I mean, the reports that were coming were saying, you know, after Bale left, were that a lot of players also felt sort of relieved at the whole situation, you know. He didn't even say goodbye to many of the players because he only kind of said goodbye to the ones he could see while he was walking out of the training center. So that was already that's already a toxic relationship. So is the criticism of Zidane warranted because of the Bale situation? No, I don't think so. I think he saw what he saw and he didn't want him on the team anymore. As good as Bale is, and maybe Bale is going to do great with Mourinho, and God bless him if he does, but he just wasn't for us anymore, you know? And I love the guy. You can't be a Madridista and hate Bale. If you are a Madridista and hate Bale, then you don't love the team, you know, because he helped the team win on so many occasions. But his era, his cycle, as they say, was done at Madrid. James, I'm Colombian. You know, just to let you guys know, I'm Colombian. I'm of Colombian background. I love James. I think he's great. But as a player, his attitude, You know, I think I've seen things from him where he kind of let things go to his head. He kind of let the whole idea of being in Madrid go to his head. He liked to party. You know, we know that he had a whole bunch of situations with the law in the sense of tickets and being stopped and losing his license and all these types of things. I mean, there's got to be something there that he wasn't showing responsibility, you know, besides that great player. But you're also fighting with a midfield that we talk about. Like right now, what did I talk about? I talked about that whole 4-3-3 situation that we have, is that we have such, we've had this sort of tried and true midfield at Madrid, which is Kroos, Casemiro, and Modric. And, you know, look at all the titles that Zidane has been able to win with those guys, right? As those guys, as his, as the backbone of the team. James just didn't fit into that. James is not quick. He doesn't have a lot of pace. He's not the type of guy that's going to fight for the ball and come back. You know, he's not the type of guy that is going to defend. He's not defensively sound, I would say. He's not one of those, like, you know, mixed midfielders that can that'll track back and, you know, defend really well and will, you know, will make a tackle and get the ball and then go back up. He's really not like that. You know, he's more of an attacking midfielder. And that was just something that Zidane did not want. He wanted somebody that could track back, you know, and that's kind of been the situation with a lot of teams now. That is why that position, you know, that attacking midfielder, that number 10 position that we've kind of always seen has been sort of dying out. And James was that position. And who is he going to fight for? Who are you going to take him over? Who are you going to put him? Are you going to play him over Modric? Are you going to play him over Kroos? I don't, you know, I mean, he can play on the right wing, but are you going to play him? Were you going to play him over Bale when Bale was, you know, in his best form? I just don't think so. So I just think he didn't fit. And so you can't blame Zidane for that. It just doesn't fit, whether we like it or not. And he's the one who makes the decisions. And he's won us titles. So I really think people need to, like, yo, relax. You know, he's got, you know, and you know, and that's me defending Zidane now after having just, you know, shit on him for the whole Jovic thing, you know, because I, you know, is there a favoritism? Of course, there's a favorite. There's got to be a favoritism there. But we also don't see what's going on in the training ground. And I can tell you, going back to that whole coaching thing that I tell you, when I was coaching fighters, you have times when you're teaching in class where there are, where you're, you know, when I was teaching classes, you have this thing where, you're teaching fighters and there just are fighters that stick out to you. There are talented athletes that stick out to you because you know that they're going to be doing their, they just train and train and train and train and they're just solid and you don't have to baby them and you don't have to be on top of them. And then you have a, you grow a good relationship with them. And that's normal. It happens and you don't want to show favoritism, but it sort of naturally evolves and you have to find a team that's going to win for you, and especially at a high pressure team or club like Real Madrid. So really that's where I think it's really kind of stupid for people to continue to harp on Zidane like he's this, you know, like he's this tyrant who's not letting your favorite player play. Do I think he makes bad decisions with like Jovic? Yes, I do. Do I think he made a bad decision of not, you know, bringing on Vini during the Manchester City game? Yes. But besides that, the man has won us 11 titles. And I still have faith in him doing that this year. I still have faith in him bringing us a 35th La Liga title. I think Champions League is going to be tougher. But I think a 35th La Liga title is not going to be as tough. It's still the first game. We tied 0-0 at Real Sociedad in Sebastian, which is not easy. They're always a tough team away from home. When they're, you know, so, you know, a 0-0 game is not that bad. And our defense was solid. Our defense isn't the issue. It's scoring goals. But last year, a lot of people picked up the slack. A lot of players picked up the slack. We got goals from pretty much the entire team, not named Courtois, you know? So I think the guy, I think it's too early to start criticizing him, but I do want to see from him, if Zidane is listening to this shitty podcast, I do want Zidane to listen and be like, and just, you know, hear everyone and say, hey, we want to see Luka Jovic. you bought this guy. That was one thing I did agree with El Chiringuito, where they were like, you bought the guy, play the guy. You bought him for what, 30 million euros? Don't just leave him on the bench. Play the man. I mean, I was looking at his stats. Look at 0.48 goals per game Luka Jovic had when he was with Frankfurt. 36 goals in 75 appearances. Now, you compare that to Borja Mayoral, who Zidane said he saw a lot of, you know, something in. But you still compare that to what Borja Mayoral's numbers at Levante. It was 0.2 goals per game. He had 14 goals in 69 appearances, while Luka Djokovic had 36 goals in 75 appearances. That's more than double the goals per game ratio Luka Djokovic had at Eintracht Frankfurt over Mayoral at Levante. The guy's got to have talent. But you're not going to get it if you don't play him ever. You know, that's the situation. Anyway, so that's moving on from there is, you know, I don't think it's right to criticize Zidane, you know. I don't think it's right to criticize him for everything that's going on. And it's still too early in the season. Yes, you know, yes, James leaving. You know, we're all happy. James, you know, I'm happy. James is playing at Everton and everyone's like, oh, you know, see, like I was seeing in this these in some of the things that I'm seeing on Twitter is like, oh, everyone's like, oh, well, James just scored a goal the other day and had made two assists with Everton. I saw the game. But he played a Tottenham that looked like they were asleep. And they played West Bromwich Albion, which just got promoted. Let's hold our horses and see how James does when Everton faces the top six teams in the Premier League. How is he going to do? You know, another thing that came out today is obviously if you watched the Premier League and you saw Kepa, who is the goalie from Chelsea, was the most expensive goalie in Chelsea's history, pretty much. And how bad he's been doing. He was the most scored. He received the most amount of goals out of any goalkeeper last season. And you look at that, and Zidane passed on Kepa. And people were saying that he was an idiot for it. And well, he proved them wrong. So there's a reason that he's a coach, and the reason he makes the decision that he does. And he was also a fantastic player. Let's not forget that. The man is not an idiot when it comes to football. He was a fantastic player. Obviously, not always the best players make the best coaches, but he was amazing. And he's been a title-winning coach too. So you can't just criticize him over, you know, some occasional issues that he might have with some of the players that we had. Bale. Maybe his favoritism for Benzema? Yeah. The whole French-Algerian connection? Maybe. But Benzema is no slouch. Benzema is one of my favorite players ever to wear the Real Madrid colors. One of my favorite players. And you cannot say that he's not going to go down as a legend for Real Madrid. And I know that word is thrown around a lot. But you can't say that he's not going to go down as a legend. He is a fantastic player, and he's done fantastic things for us. And he's never been one of the types of guys that bitches and complains and wants contract renewals and all these type of things. And I want more money. No, he's always played his heart out for Real Madrid. He's always been loyal to that team. So, I mean, and he's still got it. When he's got it, he's got it. He's the guy who single-handedly saved our season two seasons ago. And he was the only bright light we had in that season, the season after Cristiano Ronaldo left. He was the only one who picked up the slack and tried to score. And then last season, he did the same thing. You know, he was on par with one of his best seasons ever. So the guy still got it. So there's obviously going to be some favoritism there. you know, he's still the number one striker we have. You know, we don't have anybody else. But my criticism, fucking play Jovic. Play him a little bit. Or play Mayoral if that's who you want to play. But show us some difference. You know, let's see some guys, some other players get a chance to go in there and score a goal, you know. Maybe there's a connection there that we, a chemistry there that we, that you didn't know we had, you know. Besides that, obviously, you can't wait to have Asensio back and Hazard back. I really think Hazard's going to do great this season. And what is it with everybody fucking calling him fat? I'm sorry I'm cursing so much now. But why is everybody calling him fat? He's looked fine. I'm telling you, I'm behind a mic. I'm a fat guy. That guy is not a fat guy. All right. So, well, the Bale Reguilón transfer, I don't think we have to go too much into that. 1 year loan deal. You know, he's going to be the highest paid player. He's on a loan deal. He's going to be the highest paid. He's going to make more than Harry Kane. He's making approximately $700,000 per week. And we're paying half of that. Real Madrid's paying half of that, but that's still a lot of money to save per week. It's like what? 30 million, it's like 35, 40 million dollars a year. Is the loan deal with him that includes his salary and everything. Reguilón goes on a full transfer, which I'm kind of sad about, but Mendy looked fantastic today, and I was worried about that, and I still love Marcelo to death. I still think he's got, you know, one more season in him. And, you know, it was kind of like if we go back to the game today, seeing Mendy kind of try to dribble into the box, that is something that Marcelo does, but he does it, and he scores. Mendy still doesn't do that and score, and... Well, he did like two times last season. And then Vini doesn't do that. So, you know, Marcelo still has that. He's just a liability when it comes to defense. But Mendy, I got to take I thought he played fantastic today. So, you know, and Reguilón, he'll be back with us in 2 years. If he really blows up at Tottenham, which I think he can with Mourinho at the helm, we can get him back in 2 years. I think the buyback fee would be for the set fee was approximately $53 million. I think it was like 45 million euros. So all that's according to Fabrizio Romano from The Guardian, of course. And honestly, just going back to Bale's legacy, Bale's legacy at Madrid, you can't dispute it. Regardless of how he ended, Bale was awesome. He was part of the BBC, La BBC. He was a fantastic player. 251 appearances, 105 goals, 68 assists. So, I mean, he was a hell of a player for us, and he won so many titles with us, including, obviously, the Champions Leagues. Scored fantastic goals. Nobody can forget that Copa del Rey, you know, where he, I think Bartra still... has nightmares about that. Probably has PTSD after that. And always remembers that goal. And then Liverpool, that, you know, that goal in the final. And then he scored so many other bangers. I was looking at highlights the other day of his. He's amazing. And he was an amazing player for us. It just ended, at the end, it just ended wrong. I think fans in Madrid's, you know, Madrid's fans can be really harsh sometimes, but I also feel Bale's issues with injury are what cost him a lot of, you know, it cost him his place at Madrid, and I think it cost him his confidence, because even when he did play this last few seasons, he hasn't been the same Bale, and when you get injured that much, your confidence gets shot, you know. I'm Colombian, so I think back to Falcao and what Falcao was at Atletico Madrid and what Falcao was when he first started in Monaco and then what he became afterwards. And he hasn't been the same player ever since. Injuries will do you in, you know. So, and Bale just gets him all the time. You know, we see it at Barcelona. I mean, Ousmane Dembele fantastic player at Borussia Dortmund, but he's just made of glass and he hasn't been able to show anything. I'm you know, for us, it's actually a good thing that he hasn't been able to play as well and be at his top form, because if he's at his top form, he's dangerous. You know, regardless of him playing for a rival, you have to see it. You know, he's a tough player. But people want to sell him because he's a liability. He's just sitting on the bench now. He's always injured. And that's kind of what happened to Bale. And he got to the point where he was pissed off and our team was pissed off and the fans were pissed off. And then, you know, the whole thing with golfing and, you know, sort of being an outcast in the locker room didn't help. So whatever. So let's, you know, drop the whole thing about it being Zidane's issue. All right, guys. So that's pretty much the podcast. But let's go into some La Liga results.
It's time for your La Liga results recap.
All right, guys. So that's let's go into your La Liga results recap. I didn't really get to see a lot of the games this weekend. I was really focused on getting the show prepared for when Real Madrid played. But besides that, I did get to see a couple of them. And here are your results from the weekend. First game of the weekend, which was played on Saturday, Villarreal versus Eibar. The score ended 2-1. Obviously, like I said, Villarreal is a team that I am paying a lot of attention to because I want to see how they do with Parejo and Coquelin and Kubo. And they're still kind of, they're still not looking that great, you know? Kubo didn't get any minutes, which kind of made me mad, but he didn't play many minutes. But, you know, they still, you know, they eked out the win. Kike Garcia actually opened it up for Eibar. And then Gerard Moreno and Paco Alcácer scored for Villarreal to make it 2-1. The other game was Getafe versus Osasuna. The score ended 1-0 with a goal by Jaime Mata. That game was actually pretty good. Getafe looked really strong. You know, they're a tough team. I was looking at them and I was just like, how do we put six past them, you know, in a preseason? Obviously, I don't know who was playing. It was probably might have been some of their B team players. Cucurella, solid player, man. Solid player. Celta Vigo versus Valencia. Celta Vigo was a total dud the first match day, but they looked a lot better. And, you know, Iago Aspas came out big, scoring a brace, two goals to win the game 2-1. Over Valencia, and Maxi Gomez scored the goal for Valencia. Valencia is going to have it tough this season, you know. I think Celta Vigo is going to still, you know, they're going to be at the... Both of these teams, I mean, Valencia and Celta Vigo are just not what they used to be. But Celta Vigo was fighting against relegation last season, and Valencia, you know, didn't end well either. They ended at the, you know, sort of the... where were they? In like 10th, I believe. But anyway, yeah. It's kind of sad to see them right now, and Valencia is kind of in a tough situation at the moment financially. So the Sunday games, Huesca versus Cadiz. Now I told you guys the last podcast I said Cadiz looked to me like they were going to be fighting for relegation, and that Huesca actually looked good, but then Cadiz came back and you know, today was actually the day of you know, two guys that have kind of been on the periphery of scoring, two strikers that kind of been we say in Spanish peleados con el gol. You know, they've been fighting with the goal. They haven't been able to score. Álvaro Negredo of Manchester City and Valencia back in the day scored, and Jorge Pombo scored also for Cadiz. So they end up winning the game 2-0 over Huesca. Real Betis versus Valladolid, did not see this game at all. I know Nabil Fekir scored a goal from the penalty spot, and William Carvalho also scored to get Real Betis that win 2-0 over Valladolid. Granada continues to surprise. I'm telling you, I really like watching them. So far, are they in first place right now on the table? Two wins from their last two games. So let me see, the last game, got it here in my notes, just want to make sure they did win, didn't they? Granada, yeah, final game, they won 2-0, and they won 2-1. Granada versus Alaves. Roberto Soldado, like I was saying, another throwback name there who hasn't scored in quite some time, or who, you know, kind of had a lot of potential and never went anywhere kind of thing, but scored. Darwin Machis, Venezuelan, 2-1. They scored over Alaves. Joselu was the scorer for Alaves. And then in the end, Real Sociedad, Real Madrid, you know the score, 0-0. It was a sad one. It was a sad one. And that's about it, guys. That was our podcast. So I just want to say real quick, thank you to everybody that has been, you know, hitting me up on Twitter, following me on Twitter at @InadaMasPodcast. That's where I've been most active. And a lot of you guys are really active. I mean, Real Madrid Twitter is pretty bomb. I love it. So you guys getting a lot of information and sharing a lot of memes and different things with the Real Madrid faithful. So follow me on Twitter, @InadaMasPodcast. Also on Instagram, @InadaMasPodcast, and on Facebook at @InadaMasPodcast. Remember, we're looking for some writers who want to dive into doing some quick articles here and there for the website. So that's the email is info@inadamas.net. And then also our website is www.inadamas.net. That's where you can find our podcast and also find all the other episodes as we start putting them up, and hopefully the blog and pictures and everything like that as we start filling up with content. I guess the last thing I wanted to say was, you can find us now. Now our podcast is pretty much everywhere that you can find podcasts. So it is now on Apple Podcasts. It is now on Google Podcasts. It is on TuneIn. It is on Spotify. It is on Stitcher. And it is on Castos. And I believe Pocket Podcasts is the other one. So it's really everywhere podcasts can be found. I'm actually working on iHeartRadio right now to get it on there as well. And the team and I are just working hard there. Also, I want to do some like video reactions to some of the games, setting up a YouTube channel. We have it right now. It's @InadaMas. Look at @InadaMas Podcast. You'll find us there. But there's really nothing there except for a small promo video that we produced. Setting up the studio to kind of make it more, you know, I have my old Real Madrid jerseys and hanging them up and everything. So we'll have video versions of the podcast at some point down the line, but I do want to do some reaction videos as well. So that's about it, guys. Thank you for the love. The podcast, you know, I think got quite a few downloads and listens, and people were interested in it. So, you know, shoot me a line, give me a comments, tell me, you know, how you feel about the podcast. And thank you once again for listening. We will be back next week, and hopefully we are back with a win, and hopefully Jovic gets a few minutes to play on the field. And Zidane hears my pleas. But besides that, guys, a la Madrid y nada más. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you all again next week.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.